So I was at a camp in somewhere in Texas like 4 years ago. It was right before my daughter was born, so almost five. And they were playing that same game, and they put the most disgusting stuff in the tube, and the dude passed out as he was blowing, and they caught it on slow motion. He's like, and then the guy was blowing it, so it's like splattering all over his face as he passed out. It was horrible, but awesome at the same time. Camp is awesome. Camp is so fun. How many want to hear some funny camp stories? How many are Hispanic? So it's like almost everyone. It's like the ratio of California in here. Okay, I'll tell you a funny one. I was doing a summer camp in Mexico, and the pastor came to my camp, and we did one called Survivor. And so we had all these crazy games, and there was, so instead of having Team Captain Crunch and Team Cocoa Puffs, we just had different color teams, and the loser team every night, so there's like 10 different teams. And at the end of the night, we had tribal council. And if you had the most points, you won immunity and you couldn't be voted off. But if you lost, you got voted out of the camp and you had to go spend the night in tents out in the woods. And so it was in a, you know, somewhat safe area. You know, we make sure that people don't die, you know. We do our best. And so I had some pastor friends from Mexico come up and be guests at our camp. So they like the concept of the camp. They're like, we're going to do it too. So they do their own Survivor. And I don't know what they call it in Hispanic. It was something, I don't know, like taco, burrito, something. I'm not sure. But so we get down there, and instead of voting them off the camp, they're like putting them like downtown, like where the gangsters are. I mean, it was just like, it was so extreme. And so like one of their games, like this is Survivor Camp. They're like, yeah, we're going to, like, this is the game that we're going to do. And so I kid you not, this is the honest to God story. One of their games, okay, one of their games was you had to catch a chicken. I don't know why you're laughing yet. When you caught the chicken, I kid you not, this was the game. You had to cut off the chicken's head with a plastic knife. They didn't want the kids to get hurt, so they gave them a plastic knife. So you have, like, it's like the most brutal, like, horror scene you've ever seen in your entire life, because the plastic knife can't cut the chicken, so it's just, like, hurting the chicken. It was awful. It was like a children's horror movie. It was the most disgusting thing. I'm like, you guys are out of control, Mexico summer camps. It's hilarious. Has anyone noticed that you can't barely tell the difference between a hipster and a camper because they all look the same, just kind of dirty and grungy? It's funny. Anyway. All right, you want one more funny camp story? Now, if I tell you this camp story, you can't get any ideas. Okay, so like, you know when you see the YouTube video and they're like, kids, don't try this at home? So it was one of my last years of summer camp before I became a leader. And I was like, we're going to make this glorious. We're going to make this count. And so it was the last night, and we're like, hey, we're going to sneak out on the last night because what are they going to do? Send us home. And so me and my buddies, we snuck out, and we went to our friend's cabin. And they were sound asleep, snoring like chainsaws. And we took honey, and we poured honey all over their beds. All over their beds, okay? And we honeyed the whole cabin. And then we snuck out, and like 10 seconds later, we hear this. And they come storming out, and we hadn't gotten away yet because we were trying to sneak out. And so we're like right by the camp, like with honey in our hand, like. And they're like, guys, the girls just got us with honey. And we're like, get them. And so they come storming out of their cabin. We're out of our cabin. And we like come running out. And then it's like across the battlefield, we see all of these girls in the field. And it like felt like Braveheart for a moment, like throwing the sword. Freedom! And so these guys had duct tape and buckets of water and toothpaste. And we like went storming the field like Braveheart. And the girls came storming. I think they had water balloons because they were planning to get the guys' cabins anyway. And so we hog-tied these girls with duct tape. True story. And it was like the second wave of like infantry came with toothpaste all over the hands and ran it through their hair.
And then the final wave, like the archers just came and just threw buckets of water. And then it turned into like this epic, and we didn't even know because the leaders had planned to get all of the students. And so the leaders came out with like hundreds and hundreds of water balloons. So we just had like this epic water fight at midnight. And it was one of the glorious wars of camp history. So that was my camp. That was my fun. Don't try that at home. None of you ever shouldn't do that. If you want to try something, try to kill a chicken with a knife. Just kidding. Don't do that either. Don't do that. Camp is crazy. Camp is crazy. It's interesting. I had an interesting thought this morning. I brought my laptop, and I literally got off a plane. I was home for one day. I took my wife out for her birthday, jumped on a plane, came the next day. I've been on planes nonstop for the last 2 weeks. And I ran to the airport, and I think I had to leave at like 4 a.m. or something ridiculous. And so I had to leave really, really early, and I get to Montana on the Crow Reservation, and I open up my backpack, and I realize I forgot my laptop charger. And I'm like, oh, I forgot my charger. And so I know I'm going to be gone for almost an entire week. My laptop is not going to last a week. And so I'm trying to barely use it, but there's a lot of things on there and a lot of things I need to use on there. And so I'm not using it for music. I'm not using it for other things. Don't watch anything on it. Just use it for just the most important things. And so I'm kind of watching it go down, and went on the Crow Reservation. It got about halfway down, and then I got to Southern California, and then it was about a quarter of the way down. And I asked Shayla this morning, I said, hey, does anyone have a laptop charger for a new Mac? And she says, I think I do. So she runs and goes and gets it. And as soon as she ran away to go get her laptop charger, I had a thought. I said, this is a lot like camp. This is a lot like camp. You have many friends that are running low on power. And it's your job when you come to summer camp to get filled up. And that's your job, is when you go home to disperse the power amongst the students. It's your job not to have a camp high or an emotional time with God, but to release, to be so full of God's power, so full of the Holy Spirit, that's what you do. You supply people for run out, because people don't know when they're going to run out of the power. They don't know when they're going to run out of that juice, that intimacy with God. And here's the thing, is if you don't fill yourself up, you have no idea what moment, what plane ride, what car ride, where you're going to be where you run out of power. And that's really a type and shadow of what summer camp's all about, is continually filling yourself up with the power and the presence of God, so that we could go from here and we go back to Sozo, we go back to our church, and we just let it loose. Amen? I don't know where the books are. If we could have them available tonight, they're right there. So what I wanted to do, guys, anyone that wants one of these books today, you can keep it over there, but anyone who wants one of these books today, I just want to get it in your hands. I've never done this ever, okay? I sell these books for $20 wherever I go, and people buy them for $20. But I want to, if you want to buy a book today, you can buy it for $5, okay? That's just the cost of printing the book, so there's zero money being made whatsoever. And the reason why I just want to do that today, and I'm leaving early in the morning, so it'll be available all day today, but I want to get this in your hand. It is so crucial. You have a question? You sure can. You buy as many as you want. But you can't buy them and resell them, okay? And don't hustle me. Just kidding. I get home and you got a little online store going on. You can buy as many as you want. But listen, my heart is that you get God's word in you so you could respond to culture. There's a growing shift and a growing tide. There's a great manipulation that's beginning to take place in the body of Christ. And with this incident that happened the last weekend, it's going to grow like a tidal wave. And here's the heart of the book. And I just want to be very, very, very clear, okay? Homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin, and God loves sinners. But guess what? Sex out of wedlock for heterosexuals is a sin. It's a sin. And so you can't say, hey, these people struggling with homosexuality, that's the biggest, grossest, ugliest sin, while you're struggling with sexual sin on your computer. You following me? And so the Bible says that we have to take the plank out of our own eye,
before we help someone take the speck out of theirs. And so what you have to do is you have to be passionate about living a righteous life. I got a message on Facebook from some girl, and she said, hey, I'm reading Landon Schott's book. And she goes, the number one thing I've gotten out of it is to evaluate myself before I look at anybody else. What a great message. In fact, the first part of the book, I deal with heterosexual sin, deal with divorce, deal with immorality, deal with lust, deal with pornography. Those things that we have to get right in our lives before we have any voice to anybody else. So this book is about this, loving people, but loving God. Loving people and loving God. So the world says, why can't we just love? But the problem is they describe love as a feeling. So you love the LA Dodgers, or some bums love the LA Rams, or some, yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they're a good team, okay? But I love this movie. Or how many love Chipotle? Okay, but watch, you respond to love for a burrito that's gonna give you diarrhea. Hold on, but watch. Here's my point, is you identify, you said, yes, I love a burrito. And then we're at this altar saying, I love God. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're using the same word to describe affection for a burrito as we do God. Do you see the problem? And so the difference is you have, when you have the same words, you follow the same definitions. So like, I don't feel like I love Chipotle today. I think I'm going to cheat on Chipotle and go hang out at Qdoba. We do the same thing with God. I don't feel like loving God today. I'm going to go cheat on God and hang out with so-and-so. You see the difference? So God's definition of love has nothing to do with sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. Nothing to do with sex. In fact, the 1 Corinthians 13 says God does not delight in evil. The Bible calls homosexual practice evil in 6 different places. So here's what that means. It cannot be love between 2 men and 2 women if they're having sex, because the Bible says God's love does not delight in evil. God's definition of love has nothing to do with sex. You know what God's definition of love is? Obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you obey me. So why am I telling you this? Because if you don't know God's word, you will be the chump that believes the lies of the world. And then someone will say something that sounds good, but it's not God, but you won't know it's God because you don't know God's word. So this book is intense, it's bold, and again, the reason I'm challenging you to get it, and I'm giving you it to what it cost me, is that I want you to know what God's word says, so that when everybody on your Facebook is posting rainbows and posting, love is love and love wins and all of these different things, that you'll be able to respond in kindness and godliness from a biblical perspective. I had a guy on Facebook this morning say, F you gay lover, you this, you that, just nasty, okay? And that's the other side of this, is you really do have hateful, you really do have homophobes. You wanna see what a homophobe is? A homophobe is the guy that grabs a gun and goes into a gay bar and kills 50 people. That's what hate looks like. That's what evil looks like. But for me to say, God loves you, but you're living a life of sin is not hate, that's love. But hear this, we can't voice that to the gay community and not voice that to the church. You hear what I'm saying? If you love your sister in Christ, you're gonna warn her of the relationship that she's playing with fire with a boy. Are you following me? So again, it's not about gay or straight. It's about a dedicated Christ follower that's loving Jesus and following Jesus with everything they have. Okay? Amen? I really like you guys. And what I do at camps and all services that I'm at, I always just sit in the back and I worship with whoever's worshiping, and I just watch.
I watch. When I'm ministering once a month in Tucson at the youth ministry that I'm a part of, I go in the sound booth and I worship with the sound booth guys. And I love watching young people worship their God. And I think I figured you guys out last night. You guys are a bunch of radicals. But radicals that are submitted to the lordship of Jesus become revivalists. And I believe that the Lord wants to do something significant, if you remain true to God's word and true to the Spirit of God. Radicals become weird when they're not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You hear what I said? Radicals become weird. That's why we have to be, and you hear me say it over and over and over and over. It's, if you listen to my podcast and you had to hear me say it a bajillion times, is there's nothing more important than reading your Bible. There's nothing. Look, I don't want to hear, I'm going to talk about this today. I don't want to hear you say God told me when you're not in his word. Okay? And I'm going to teach you today. This is cool. I really feel like I have clarity from the Lord. I'm going to teach you this morning on how you hear from God. And then tonight, we're going to begin to activate it. So tonight, we're going to go into worship, and I might just give a little bit of instructions in order, but tonight we're going to begin to activate, and we're going to ask God to begin to use not me, but use you. Okay? So no pressure, no weirdness, okay? Just enjoying Jesus, just enjoying the presence of God. So shut your notes real fast, shut them all up. No notes. Last night I gave you a few things to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. What's the first one? No notes. What? Say it out loud. Read your Bible. Number two. What was number three? Never gave it to you, did I? Okay. Developing a fasting lifestyle. Okay. Developing a fasting lifestyle. Young people don't do this because only the spiritual mature can do this. Only the spiritually mature can do this. I want to charge you, and you'll read about it in my book about fasting. There's five elements of deliverance message on my podcast about fasting. Fasting is, you ever see in video games when you run over like the little special spots in your car or your jet or whatever it is, and you hit it and it's like a turbo booster? Okay, that's what fasting does for a Christian walk. It doesn't feel like it when you're doing it, but it's a turbo booster. So here's the rules of fasting. You don't tell everybody that you're fasting. If you're ever bringing attention to yourself, you lost the point of the spiritual discipline. You lost the point of the spiritual discipline. It's always to hide yourself, kill your flesh, and grow in your spirit. So here's what I challenge you to do every single week. This is my challenge to you to grow. So what did I tell you? What did I challenge you to do in your word? Okay, Psalm, Proverb, New Testament. Okay, why Psalms? Psalms is a book of worship. It puts worship in you. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Young people are dumb and rebellious. You need wisdom. I didn't call you dumb. Proverbs 16 says you're dumb. It's true. Okay? And then the New Testament is just the stories of Jesus. It's the gospel. Okay? So that's why I recommend that. Okay? How many minutes did I say to spend in prayer? At least 15. You don't want the hi-bye relationship. You don't want, I always say this, true friends call each other when they have nothing to talk about. My best friends, hey, what's going on? I have nothing to tell them. And we talk for 35, 45 minutes because we're just friends, okay? And then fasting, here's my challenge to you. Fast one day a week, breakfast and lunch, and then eat dinner. That's my challenge. Breakfast and lunch, that's my challenge to you. One day a week, every week. So pick a day. If it's Wednesdays are my days.
And then I do a bunch of different kinds of fasts where I'll do 3-day fasts over weekends once a month. And I minimum do 121-day Daniel fast a year. This year I did 2 21-day liquid only fasts. I lost 27 pounds doing it. And I did my normal one that I do to start out the year, and I got done. I'm like, yes, it's over. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to fast again, fasting in for your book. So when you hear the Lord tell you to fast something, I was going into service in Chicago, and it was on Pentecostal Sunday, and I was reading how Paul fasted 3 days by the time that he lost his sight to the time he gained his sight and got baptized with the Holy Spirit. I heard the Lord speak to my spirit and say, go on a 3-day fast leading into that service. So as you begin to hear God, you'll put yourself on fasts, okay? You want to be careful, just a wisdom, okay? Just lift your hand and say, teaching moment. You want to be really careful who you tell you're fasting, okay? Because if you have parents that aren't spiritual, I'm not telling you to hide things from your parents, but parents that aren't spiritual freak out when they think their kids aren't eating, okay? If you have ever had eating disorders and struggle with that, you want to be very careful what you fast, okay? You don't want to take what I'm telling you and let the enemy use it to be a stronghold in your life again, okay? So you don't just have to fast food. I got a friend that fasts different things every single year. 1 year he'll fast chocolate. 1 year he'll fast coffee. 1 year he'll fast red meat. 1 year he'll fast movies. Won't see a movie for an entire year. You can fast things that aren't food. It's called the spirit of the fast. What I mean by that is you discipline something your flesh loves. Maybe you fast social media for a month. And every time you go to check your phone, which is every 10 seconds of the day, instead of checking your phone, that's where you tell the Lord you love him. That's when you ask him to speak to you. So you do something that disciplines. Maybe you fast your LA Rams for the whole season. Just kidding. Okay. But the point is that you're constantly, intentionally denying your flesh something that you love and asking the Lord to speak to you. You following me? Okay. So those are the three things. If you have questions about that, you can ask your leaders. All right, this morning I'm going to teach on how to hear from God. How to hear from God. So we're going to be primarily in 1 Samuel 3, but I have a couple other scriptures that you could write down. Matthew 4:4 says, and he answered, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, we live our Christian life by the word of God, by hearing from God. And as we live our Christian life, I'm going to give you a lot of notes this morning. Your ability to hear God is everything. Don't turn there, just write it down. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Nothing in life, hear me, young people, nothing in life is more important than your relationship with God. And hearing from him affects everything. If you're a note taker, write it down. Nothing in life is more important than you hearing from God. And hearing from God affects everything. Pastor Drew and Tamara and I were talking on the ride up and talking about just different paths of internship and Bible college and all these different things. And one of the comments that I made was, I'm blown away how many people go to Bible college, spend a fortune, spend 4 years, and at the end of the 4 years, they still can't hear from God. You're in trouble. When people come and ask me for advice, I always ask them, what did the Lord say? And they're usually like, I didn't ask him. Well, why didn't you ask him? They don't ask because they're not used to hearing. And so you're looking for everyone else's opinion, and then what you do is you just guess. You guess on what school you should go to. You guess on what career. You guess on what direction. You guess on what relationship that you should be in. And so instead of intentionally following the voice of God, the heart of God, you just wander and guess what you should be doing in life. Nothing in life is more important than hearing from God. So, 4 tips to prepare you from hearing from God. 4 tips to prepare you from hearing from God. 1, ask God to speak to you out loud. So many young people tell me, Lord doesn't talk to me. God doesn't talk to me. Do you ask God to speak to you out loud? I don't mean for you to ask God to speak to you out loud. I mean you ask God to speak to you out loud. You follow the difference? So you are talking out loud, asking God to speak to you. I'll find myself in waking up from a plane ride or even this morning, waking up on the pee mattress, rolling over and saying, Lord, speak to me. I'm just commissioned to do it. I'll do it all the time. I'll find myself just walking. If you see me walking on these roads, it might appear a little weird. Maybe it is a little bit, but I'm always constantly, I don't have a Bluetooth in. I'm just asking God to speak. I'm just talking to him out loud, telling him that I love him over and over and over. It's part of my habit. I just constantly do it. Lord, speak to me. You'll hear on my podcast when I pray, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I probably pray that prayer more than anything else. I'm going to show you why in a little bit. Number two, devour your Bible. It's so easy. You don't read, so you don't hear. You don't read, so you don't hear. It's that simple. You have to be in your word. Number three, make quiet time to listen. I talked to you about this last night. I call it my communion time. Make quiet time to listen. What does that mean? That means you turn off the dumb things that vibrate and beep so that you're not distracted. So you don't say, hey, have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone and your phone's on the table, just keeps going off and going off and going off, and every 2 seconds you're looking down? Well, it could be challenging enough to hear from God, let alone with your phone going berserk all the time. Turn off your dumb notifications. You don't need to know every time someone likes your dumb picture. Right? Lord speaking. Father, I just like constantly. Okay? So turn it off. Make sure that you don't have things that can distract you. You know, if you're doing it at home, tell your parents, hey, I'm going to go have quiet time with the Lord. Is it okay if nobody, you know, storms in? Or for me, I like walking. I like walking and running. That's what I'll do. I'll put my headphones in, and then it doesn't matter what's going on around me or even if there's tons of people. I do it at the gym all the time, and that's where I do it. Listen, your quiet time doesn't have to be quiet. It has to be in a place where you could zone out. Follow me? So whatever that looks like for you, okay, whatever's comfortable for you. But the key is you make time. Again, I'm gonna say it like this. The best way to do that is you plan it. I'll put it like this. If you don't plan it, it never happens. Okay? That'd be like us not planning a camp and we all want to get together for God to move. But we're just like, hey, we're just all going to kind of do it. Hey, maybe we'll all go one day this summer to Sugar Pine. Okay? See you there. It doesn't happen. Right? You have to make plans. Okay? How many forgot a towel and didn't bring a towel to camp? How many forgot stuff, okay? So look, if you don't plan, it's not gonna happen. You gotta plan things. Number four, enjoy the adventure. Enjoy the adventure. Have fun, relax, chill out. Stop making it a big deal. I need God to speak to me. I need God to speak to me. Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? Relax, chill. Have you ever had someone who come up to you and they're like super spastic, weird, and they're like, hey, will we be friends? Could you be my friend? You're like, ah, sure, yeah. You're like, unfriend, you know? You're like, ooh, settle down. Chill out. You know, friends are someone that you just play basketball with or run into or, hey, what's up? Or start conversation. It's relaxed. The over-obsessive, hey, be with me. You're like, okay, fine, you know? But it's awkward. You know what I'm talking about? So if Jesus is going to be our friend, you don't have to be weird about it. Okay, here's a warning. If you're taking notes, write this down. Write a really big warning. If you ask God to speak to you, it will never be convenient or when you want him to. The reason why I ask the Lord to speak to me all the time is because he never speaks to me when I'm asking him to speak to me. And that's when people get frustrated. They're like, Lord, speak. I just need you to right now. Just stop all eternity and speak to me now. Like, you're commanding God. That's why I like, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, because I'm like, hey, I'm here. You, whatever you want, whenever you want, speak to me. Because here's what I found is the times I ask God to speak to me, I rarely ever hear. But when I'm doing something out and about and I'm busy, that's when God speaks to me. I remember the first time I was at a mall and I was just hanging out. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I look up, I see this guy, and I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, tell him he's not gay.
This is like 10 years ago. I'm like, that is so weird. Are you sure, Lord? Not now. Or you'll notice you'll be in a hurry when God speaks to you. You're late. You got to get somewhere. No, I can't stop and obey you, Lord. I got things to do. I can't stop and obey you. I got to get to church. It's always some weird, awkward time that doesn't work good with your schedule. And that's what you have to know. That's why you ask him to speak to you constantly, because he's always going to speak to you when it's not convenient for you. Acts 1, don't turn there, just write it down. Acts 1, it says, but wait for the gifts. This is verse 4. I promised you, when you heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's so important that you understand the relationship with you hearing God from the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give you 5 tips now of what hearing from God sounds like. Okay, 5 tips. Number 1, I expect you to have all these memorized by tonight. Just kidding, just joking. Hearing from God sounds like you. This is very challenging. This is why so many people always ask the question, is it me or is it God? The reason why they ask that, how many have asked that yourself before when you feel like God's speaking to you? The reason why you ask that is because the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit informs you. That's why it sounds like you. It sounds like you. You have to get over, okay, worldly people call it your conscience, okay? You have to get over the inward communication. So many people want it to come like a writing on a wall or this loud voice, but it happens internally. And I'm going to show you in the scripture how that works. So number 1, what does God sound like? Number 2, it comes quicker or faster than you can think. What do I mean by that? I call it revelation. I describe it like this. I know when God speaks to me by how fast the whole concept comes. For example, I have not seen Star Wars 15 or whatever it's on. 7. He's passionate about it. Okay? The reason why, I could care less. I'm a grown man. I'm not going to dress up like an Ewok and go to some Comic-Con thing with the lightsaber that my mom bought me. Okay? I'm not going to dress up and go to the movies. Some people saw it 7 times in the first day that it came out. People really like Star Wars, okay? I'm not into it. Could care less. I'll probably see it on a plane somewhere in the next 10 years. It's cool, okay? So I don't understand what that black dude's doing with the chick and what Harrison Ford's doing. Why is old man Harrison Ford back in the movie? I don't understand. I thought he was frozen somewhere with Jabba the Hutt. I'm not sure, okay? All the Trekkies are getting so mad right now. They're like, I'm not a Trekkie, it's Star Wars. So here's my point. What the heck was Harrison Ford doing? Who the heck is his son? See, watch, listen. She could tell me what happened because she saw the movie. I didn't see the movie. Watch. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's like seeing a movie you never saw. You understand the whole thing without ever going through it. It's an entire revelation, a complete concept, a whole concept given to you in a moment. You following me? So it comes quicker and faster than you can think. But it's a complete revelation. That's number 3. It's a complete revelation all at once. Number 4. Some hear, some feel, some see. Some hear, some feel, some see. Sometimes people hear words. Sometimes people hear names. Sometimes they hear things. Some people see it happening, see visions. And then some people feel it. It's weird. It's a feeling that just comes. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but it's like you're feeling things happening. It's an emotion that you feel. And number 5, it always resists or opposes the flesh. Why? Because it's spirit, and the spirit and flesh are in opposition. What do I mean by that? I mean, the Holy Spirit will always tell you to do things you don't want to do. It will always tell you to do things that resists the flesh. For example, if in your heart you want to impress people, and so you want to give a word that will impress people, it will just be you and your flesh. It won't be you and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will tell you times and things that you don't want to do. It will always resist the things of the flesh. So when I became 18 years old, I became obsessed with hearing the voice of God. I didn't go out on Fridays. I spent almost every Friday in my office doing those dumb four notes, singing, worshiping. I learned how to operate in the presence of God, flowing in the Holy Spirit by doing that. I went and locked myself away. And it was a time where the Lord set me apart. So it was weird because I lost a lot of friends, but I didn't lose a lot of friends. We're like, I don't want to be friends with you. I lost a lot of friends because I went one way and they went another. And these weren't bad friends. These weren't bad people. These were cool Christian people. But I wanted to walk with the Holy Spirit more than anyone else. Now, I want to make this very clear. It wasn't like, hey, I'm better than you. Hey, I'm going to go do something that you're not doing. I'm more spiritual than you. It was fine if they wanted to come do it with me, but they would rather go see a movie. You see what I'm saying? They would rather go chill. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying I didn't ever go do those things. But my life was built around my relationship and time with the Holy Spirit, not my relationship and time with friends. There's a difference. Okay, I'm not saying be weird. And you're the most spiritual person on the planet. That's where you become weird, okay? You're still you. You're still cool. But your priorities have changed. You see what I'm saying? Your priorities have changed. So I became obsessed. And when I mean obsessed, not obsessed in a bad way, obsessed in a good way, where my relationship with the Holy Spirit became my most important thing. And I began to memorize all the gifts of the Spirit, verses and chapters and the fruit of the Spirit, and every single day asking the Lord to speak to me. Lord, give me your gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, power, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation, and distinguish between the gifts. And then I realized that the fruit amplified, or they fed the gifts. So I began to ask the Lord for the fruit to begin to manifest in my life, and I begin to bear fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, every single day asking for it over and over, asking every single day. Became obsessed. I had a huge binder where I printed out all the scriptures and I just go over every scripture on love, every scripture on joy, every scripture on peace, every one of the gifts, find it where they were activating the life. I just became obsessed with it. Asking the Lord every day to speak to me. And then I noticed he started speaking, but every time he spoke, it was awkward, irritating, or told me to do something I didn't want to do. And for me, how he got my ear and he got my attention is he started telling me to give away money. Not tithes, not offering, giving away money when I didn't want to. So I'd be driving down the road and I heard the Holy Spirit say, give that lady $100. She's just walking with her daughter. And I was like, no, that's me. I'm just telling me, that's me. You know it's not you because you have never told you to give $100 to a stranger. And so I drive by, and Fast and Furious just came out, and I had like a tricked out Honda Civic at the time with the loud muffler. So I'm like, you know, driving by, and I didn't obey right away, and I always heard the Lord say the same thing when I didn't obey him. He said, do you want me to speak to her or not? So I turned around, and I'm driving back. And this loud car with the spoiler on it, and then I'm driving by her again, and we locked eyes. And then it's like super awkward. And so I chickened out and I kept driving. And I'm like, all right, I missed it. You know, next time, Lord, catch up with you next time. And I heard it again. Do you want me to speak to you or not? I felt that what's it called? Ultimatum. Am I gonna follow through what I'm asking him to do every day or not? Like, Lord, can't you just give me a cool prophetic word about angels that I could just give at church and everyone will clap? So I turn around and then I pull up behind her. And at this time, she's jogging with her children. I've driven by her three times and she sees me and she starts running. literally running away from me. And I had a $100 bill because the Lord knows it. And I pulled it out of my car and I get out of the car and I start running after her. And she's running from me with her kids. And I said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And she stops. And I said, hey, sorry, just the Lord told me to give this to you. And I hand her the $100. She starts crying. She says, we're out of groceries. I was on a walk-in just praying, asking the God to help provide for my family. I'm like, cool. Another time I'm sitting in church, $100 was like the big number. Because I was working and I had a part-time job. I'm going to school, going to college, but you know, not that much money, but a little bit of money. And I'm sitting in the front row of church and I see this lady, it's Christmas Eve. I see this lady and the Lord says, give her $100. And it's Christmas Eve, y'all. I mean, I've already bought all these gifts for people I don't even like. You know, and then I'm doing what everybody does. Like, no, it's not me. This is you. This is not God. It's not God or me. This is the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, then I'm doing like, Lord, if you want to bless her, you give it to her. You own 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hill. You know, I'm just, all right. And I just keep hearing it again. You want to bless me or not? You want me to bless you or not? You want me to speak to you or not? I'm like, ugh. So I had a checkbook at the time and wrote a check and went up to her and I just put it in her hand. I just said, hey, God bless you. Put it in her hand. And took about 10 steps away and some guy said, hey, Landon. Hey, God bless you, and put something in my hand. And I put it in my pocket, and hey, thanks, you know, Merry Christmas, and started walking away. Didn't know what it was. It was a dad of one of the kids in the children's church, and, you know, kids in the children's church would draw me dumb pictures all the time of stuff, and they're like, hey, here's a picture of you. I'm like, ugh. You're a little Picasso, you know. So I'm driving home, and I pull it out. I said, what was that? And I pulled it out, and I opened it up, and it was a check for $1,000. And I heard the Lord speak to me and say, you fought with me all night to bless you. Hundreds turned into 500s. Guys, it got so crazy one time. There's this girl I liked. And we weren't dating, but I liked her. I was watching her. It's before Heather. And I went out of town preaching. And she ended up kissing another guy in the youth church. And I got home and I found out about it. I'm like, Jezebel? Woman of the night. And the Lord speaks to me and says, give that guy $100. I'm like, Lord, you lost your mind. I couldn't shake it. I went over to that punk's house, knocked on his door, handed him $100, said, the Lord told me to give that to you, walked away. Crazy. Wanted to punch him in the face. Just get that Peter anointing. Over and over and over. Now, for me, it started with money and bold acts. And the reason why money, like I'm not talking about some like joker on TV manipulating for money. This is the Lord telling me to give when no one else was giving and outside of majority of church circumstances. Guys, it went from hundreds, it went to 500s, and then it went into thousands. Crazy, crazy acts of giving. And the reason why, because for you to let go of money, it means it has to leave your flesh. You have to be hearing from God. You have to be hearing from God. And when you can hear God for money, you can hear God for everything else. I remember one time I'm driving. Again, it's not a good time. It's not convenient. I'm just got home, done for working. So I went to college, went to the office, went to the church, work, coming home, tired, beautiful sunny day. Want to go just hang out at the lake. I'm driving home and I just took a weird way home that I normally don't take. And it's in this back kind of woodsy area. And I'm driving and I see this huge, huge guy. I mean, it looks like he could be on the Lord of the Rings. I mean, he's like big as you, okay? Just huge dude. Okay? And again, he's at his mailbox, and we lock eyes, and I hear the Lord say, pray for him. I see him, and I just intimidate. I'm like, no, it's not you, Lord. It's not you. Just keep driving. And again, I hear it. Do you want me to speak to you or not? I'm like, dang it. So I turn the car around, and I go back, and he's gone. He's not there. I'm like, look, Lord, he's gone. Nothing I can do about it. And I just hear the Lord speak to me and say, you know where he went. So I pull down the dumb driveway. I'm driving down. All of a sudden, it like turned into like a horror movie. Like,
big, huge trees. I swear there's like smoke billowing in. There's cars turned over. I'm like in the middle of this junkyard. And at the end of the junkyard, there's this like small, little, scary cabin. I'm like, Lord, if I die out here, no one will hear me scream. And I go and I get up there and I knock on the door and like this dude answers the door. He's like, what? I'm like, hey, sir, my name's Landon. I was driving by you and I saw you and I really felt like I was supposed to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you? He goes, no. Shuts the door. Got out of that mug as fast as I could. I'm driving home and now I'm irritated. I'm like, Lord, you know everything. Why would you send me to a dude that didn't even need prayer? I heard him speak to me so clearly. He said, that was it for him. That was for you. See, you're so concerned with how it might turn out. When you pray for someone, when you say it, when you step out. But God's concerned with your obedience. It doesn't matter if people receive it or not. It matters that you obey with what God's told you to do. And when you learn that it's not about the outcome, it's about obedience, it changes the fear factor of speaking out. Really quickly, how does God speak? Number one, he speaks by his word. If you're taking notes, please write this down. God will never tell you anything that contradicts scripture. God will not tell you that you could be a dude and marry a dude. Because scripture doesn't say that. It says the opposite. So I've sat down with people and they're like, oh, I really feel like God's told me, you know, that I could be with this guy because I'm just going to really minister to him and I'm going to introduce him to Jesus. I'm like, God's word doesn't say that. That's not God. Or the Lord's told me, you know, we're married in God's eyes. So even though we're sleeping together, but it's like in God's eyes, we're married. No, you're fornicating in God's eyes. That's why he wrote it in his Bible. Or the Lord told me I didn't have to tithe because that's Old Testament and it's not New Testament. Well, by saying Old Testament, you mean it's not under the law, but Abraham started the tithe 300 years before Moses wrote the law. So it can't be under the law if it's before the law. And even the New Testament, Jesus says, do what the Pharisees told you to do, tithe. So what you really mean is you're rebellious and you don't want to give to God. That's what it means. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I don't understand that because 10% of zero is zero. So that means you're just not making any money. But if you make any money, there's a 10% there. Really, when people say, when argue with tithing, they say that's Old Testament. They really only do that about things they want to do. They don't want to do. You hear someone argue about murder being Old Testament? That's Old Testament. No one does that because we know it's wrong. So they use Old Testament when they don't want to do something. So God will never speak to you to do something that doesn't line up in his word. You following me? That doesn't mean if God speaks to you and tells you to go pray for someone, like where does the Bible say that God speaks to you, go pray for someone? Well, all throughout scripture, there's examples of God speaking people to go out and do an act of faith. Okay? What I mean is when you get weird and you want to use the God told me as the trump card. I'll talk about that in a second. Okay, number two, God speaks to your spirit. Don't turn there. You can write this down. John 1:33. We see an example of this with John the Baptist, where he says, there's Jesus, the Son of the living God. He said, I didn't know this except the Spirit revealed it to me. So the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. I'm going to teach you a little bit more right now about that. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Everybody turn there. This is the primary scripture I want to teach out of today. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. If we could put verse 1 up there. And then we're going to go back and forth. Take your time. I'll wait for you. Open your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want you to see this. What translation do you guys use around here? New King James? That's a wrong translation. You shouldn't be using that. Just kidding. That's when people get weird. So I'm just giving you a great example. People are weird. You can't use that translation. It says brown and not dark. Giving you good examples, weirdos, Facebook theologians. I grew up on the NIV. I usually use ESV a lot. But God's word is God's word. Okay, So the NIV says this, just because this is the translation I grew up on. See how quiet when I said you can't use that? It was like, it's funny. Relax, relax, chill out, chill out. We're at camp. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Let's stop here. Who is Samuel? He's a prophet. Don't look at your Bibles, look at me. Who is Samuel's mother? Two people know this. Okay, listen to me. You are jacked if you don't know God's word. You will marry the wrong person. You will go in the wrong career. Listen, you cannot be a successful Christian if you don't know God's word. I don't mean to intimidate you. I'm trying to teach you, okay? Because I go around the world and I talk about Samson or I talk about Peter. I sat down with a guy who is in ministry a few weeks ago, a young man, and I said, what did Paul do for a living? And he's like, someone tell me what Paul did. Tent maker. Listen to me. You hide God's word in your heart so you don't sin against him. Can I just big brother you? I promise you, you will never hear from God if you don't read his word. And what you think you hear will be deception. I don't say this to make you feel bad. I don't say this to discourage you. I say this to encourage you. Who are the disciples? Who are the patriarchs? Who are the prophets? Who was Elijah? Who was Samuel? Who was Timothy? Who was Paul? What was Peter's role? All of this stuff. Look at, when you begin to learn and know God's word, I'm not saying you got to memorize stuff, guys. I got a horrible memory. It's awful. I ask God to help me all the time. I feel like all the time. Okay? It's horrible. But in about 2 to 10 seconds, I can find whatever I know is there because I put it in me so much. Okay? Look, I'm not saying you got to be the smartest. I'm not saying you got to be like the Bible whiz kid, hitting the button, answering all the Bible questions. Okay? But I'm saying you have to be familiar with God's word. Where's Leviticus? Where's Malachi? Is that Old Testament or New Testament? Okay? Here's what I'm telling you. Is that if you don't know it, then everything else I'm teaching is irrelevant because God speaks predominantly through his word, and that's the check and balance reference if you know if it's God. So just a teaching moment, Hannah was a woman that could not have babies. And she cried out to God and said, Lord, if you give me a son, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. So a miracle happened. She got impregnated, and it was an absolute miracle. God opened her womb. She gave birth to a son, and she dedicated him to the house of the Lord. You with me? So that's who Samuel is. So Samuel is a miracle baby who now is a young man anywhere between the age of 7 and 12 serving in the house of the Lord, okay? He's a young boy, and now he's serving the high priest Eli. I already told you who he was. Eli was the high priest. Eli was a good man, but a bad father. Eli had two sons that were evil. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were two priests that stole money and slept with women in the church. They were bad dudes. But Eli did not deal with the sin of his sons. And this isn't in the Bible, but many theologians believe that Goliath is the one that killed Hophni and Phinehas, because giants will wipe out wicked pastors. So this is the foundation. You have Eli, who's a good guy, but God's not moving anymore because he won't discipline his sons and he won't bring order back to the house of God. And you have Samuel, who's a little boy. You following me? So Samuel's a child, and that's where we have this text right here. So it says verse 1. Let's look at it together. It says, the boy Samuel, what does it say? What does it say in the New King James? Ministered? Okay, NIV, we're on the same page. Ministered before the Lord under Eli. Who was Eli? High priest. Okay. In those days, the word of the Lord was very rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak, he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out,
And Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord. The lamp of God means the ability to see or experience the presence of God, where the ark of God was. Verse 4, then the Lord called to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So Samuel went and lied down. Again, the Lord called to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He got up and he went and lied down. Here I am, you called me. My son Eli, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, very important, look at it. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Are you looking in your Bibles? Okay, go back to verse 1, please. Read this out loud on the screen so we're on the same. What does it say? 1, 2, 3, read. Stop. Go to verse 7. We're going to make this PowerPoint girl work. Read it out loud. Stop. Verse 1. Read. Stop. Verse 7. Read. Do you see a problem? He's ministering, but doesn't know the Lord. He's on the worship team, but doesn't know the Lord. He's leading Bible study, but doesn't know the Lord. Guys, this is so many Christians today that we participate in the things of the church, but we don't know God's word. We have a Bible college degree on the wall, but we don't know God's voice. It is entirely possible. We have denominations full of individuals that talk about God, but they don't know him. Now, this is very important. You need to understand the proximity of Scripture. That's why in my podcast you hear me say you can't just read the Bible, you have to. What do I mean by that? Once you're reading, then you have to start really studying. What does it mean? Why does it say this? What does the Ark of God mean? Why was it there? Where were they? So just to give you a story. So again, Samuel, who's his mom's name? Okay, Hannah dedicated him to the Lord. So Samuel was a servant of Eli. So it was his job when Eli needed something to serve him. Okay, similar to like an armor bearer or an usher or something like that. So imagine if this room here was Eli's bedroom. Okay, and then over in the corner is Samuel's bed. So Samuel is right next to Eli. He's in the same open space as Eli, so that if Eli needs something, Samuel will come and serve him. Are you following me? So Samuel hears outside, Samuel, Samuel, and he thinks it's Eli. But he runs to Eli and said, did you call me? And what did Eli say? No. Now, then he tells him to go back and lie down. Then again it happens. He hears it. He comes in. Did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Then it happened a third time. Now, this is very important. This is so important. God is speaking to Samuel internally. How do we know? Because if he was speaking audibly, Saul would have heard it. Excuse me, Samuel would have heard it. For example, when Saul experienced an encounter with the Spirit of Jesus, the Bible says that they heard a sound. God was speaking out loud and people heard the sound. In this case, God is speaking to Samuel's spirit and it's not out loud. Are you following me? The key is this, is he was hearing in his spirit. Remember I told you God speaks to your spirit? But Samuel thinks it's the voice of his pastor, the voice of his priest. So he comes again the third time. And Eli realized God is speaking to Samuel. So he says this, if you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Now watch. So he goes back and lies down and he hears it again. Samuel, Samuel. But Eli doesn't hear it. So that means God is speaking to him what? Internally, to his what? To his spirit. Now here's the key. Then he says out loud, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Every day I pray, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Every time I preach, I say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Listen, that
needs to be the number one prayer you ever pray. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. When you wake up in the morning, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. When you go to bed at night, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. In between basketball games or volleyball games, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Because here's the thing, is this: the Lord spoke to him internally and he spoke back audibly. Remember the first thing I told you, tips for hearing the Lord? What'd I say? Ask out loud. Because when the Lord speaks to you internally, to your spirit, and you talk back audibly, what happened was is God began to speak to Samuel, and he began a conversation with the Holy Spirit. The Lord gave him a revelation that changed the course of Israel for all eternity, which means it changed the course today. One of the greatest prophetic revelations that ever came to the earth was in that moment that a little boy said, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And if God can speak that clearly to a little boy named Samuel, then he can speak that clearly to us today. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Let it be the cry of your heart. Let it be the anthem of your relationship with God. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And then here's the thing, is you must begin to obey the voice when you hear, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." That's when you begin to activate on God speaking to you. That's here. This is so important. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you ignore his voice, he will stop speaking to you like Eli and speak to someone else. If you ask God to speak to you, you better be ready to obey when he tells you to give things away. I was at a church last summer, and I was getting ready to go and get on the flight, and I went to go put on my favorite watch. I rarely ever wore it, and it was a Father's Day present. It was about a $700 Invicta watch that my team gave me for Father's Day, and it meant a lot to me. And throughout my life, I've given away more watches than I can count. I've given away Rolexes. I've given away so many different watches, and to be honest, I never like giving them away. I'm never like, "Yes, I really like this, and the Lord told me to give it away." But every time I've given it away, something amazing has happened. And so I go and I hear the Lord say, "Bring your Invicta." I'm like, why? You know? So I put it on, and when I travel, I only bring one watch. And so I put it on and I get to the pastor's gathering. And when I get there, there's a bunch of pastors and we're all eating lunch. And one of the pastors says to me, "Hey, that's a nice watch." And I said, "Thanks, it was a Father's Day gift." And I'd always tell people it's a Father's Day gift because that was my way of saying, "Hey, it was a Father's Day gift. I can't give this away." I would say that anytime anyone would ever compliment that watch, it's really cool, huge gold. It was awesome. And it was like a submarine diving watch. It was so cool. And I would always tell people, "It's a Father's Day gift. It's a Father's Day gift." And so I told the guy it was a Father's Day gift, and he said, he's like, "My son is really into watches." I was like, "Cool." And so it was in the service, and later that night, and I see this boy worshiping. And I heard the Lord say, "You're going to give him your watch." And I told the Lord, "I can't. It's a Father's Day gift." This is last year. And the Lord said, "I know. You're to tell him he's to be about his father's business." And I go and I call the boy out and I put the wrist on him and he's weeping, crying. And I said, "You're called to be about your father's business." Guess who that boy was? He was the son of that guy. I didn't know who he was. Not only that, he's a brilliant kid who was resisting the call of ministry. And he wanted to be a doctor because he wanted to be able to afford to have nice things. And not only did the Lord call him into ministry, but the Lord put value on him. Guys, I sold that watch, and the next day that church sold $25,000 into the REC Prophetic Conference San Francisco and paid for the conference. When I sowed in obedience something that was really valuable to me. One time I was in a service with Heather, and for Heather's birthday one year, I went and bought this antique coin.
and I bought it from a coin dealer. And the coin was in circulation when Jesus walked the earth. And the coin itself was like $300. And then I made it into this cool ring. And so it was probably about an $800 ring. But more than that, my wife has preached a message, maybe you've heard on the podcast, called Marked. And it was it symbolizes Queen Esther's ring that the Lord gave her and marked her for her generation. And so she would, every time she preaches, she wears this ring, and it symbolizes Esther's queen authority ring. And it was, you know, next to her wedding ring, the most valuable thing that she owned. And not just dollar amount, but sentimental, emotional, you know? And so when she preached, to have a ring that was in, you know, this coin was in the earth when Jesus walked, pretty cool thing. And so we're in this service and I'm ministering. And then as we're ministering, there's this girl, this lady who I'd heard about and I didn't know anything about, but I felt like my wife was supposed to prophesy over her. And my wife is prophesying over her, and as she's prophesying over her, she's prophesying in Esther's anointing and in Esther's call over her life. And I hear the Lord say, she's supposed to give her ring. And I literally say, God, I can't tell her that. This means too much. I cannot tell my wife she has to give that away. So I got down on my hands and knees and I said, Lord, what do I say? And he said, ask her if there's something she's supposed to give her. So my wife's ministering, prophesying. As soon as she gets done, I go up to her and I whisper in her ear and I said, is there something you're supposed to give her? And she puts her hand over her ring, begins to weep and says, no, my ring. And with tears falling down her face, she said, the Lord already told me I was supposed to give it to her and I've been resisting it. She goes and puts the ring on her finger and tells her the story. Both of them begin to weep uncontrollably. We didn't know this, but this girl had a March for Life ministry called the Esther's Call, where they marched for abortion and ministered to women that have committed abortions. It has this amazing ministry called the Esther's Call. God did something supernatural, linking hearts and putting a special blessing in his presence on this moment and in my wife's life and in her life when she gave something sacrificially. We were in Israel a few years ago. We were walking down the street and we opened this, we saw this random door and we walked into it and there's this old man and all this old antique pots and stuff. And he's like, who are you guys? We said, oh, we're just, you know, tourist Christians. And started talking to this guy. He said, you want to see some of my coins? And we said, yeah. So he begins to open these coins and he opens this one up and it's got this woman's face on it. And he said, this one was in circulation when Esther was queen. And we bought that ring and I made it into a brand new one. And she still has her new signet ring that she wears. But here's what I'm telling you, is in those moments of obeying God, it gave birth to one of her best ministry relationships she has. Guys, there's so much power. Listen, when you hear God, and then you begin to obey God. Here's what I'm going to end with tonight. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Be afraid of not obeying. Don't be afraid of being wrong. So again, ask God to speak to you out loud. Devour your Bible. Make quiet time to listen. And enjoy the adventure.